You've just been listening to the New York State Attorney General Letitia James in blockbuster news for this Tuesday morning. An investigation into New York Governor Andrew Cuomo found that he sexually harassed multiple current and former employees, according to Letitia James. The investigation was conducted by two outside lawyers and found that Cuomo administration was a hostile work environment and that it was rife with fear and intimidation. Sexual harassment included unwanted and inappropriate groping, kissing, hugging, and comments that accusers called deeply humiliating, uncomfortable, offensive, or inappropriate. Executive chamber was found in this report to be rife with fear and intimidation, enabled, quote, harassment to occur, and created a hostile work environment. This is a report that has been on the minds of many in the sense that it was started in March of 2021. It was conducted after the March 1st executive chamber referral. And today, on this day, the 3rd of August, Letitia James says this is a sad day for New York because independent investigators have concluded that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women and, in doing so, broke the law. With that, we're going to roll through and continue coverage on this. We have all of our resources here with us, and we thank you for being with us this morning. Ian Pickus, who is our news director, joins me in the studio. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Joe. A very momentous day in Albany.
An amazing, I think a lot of us were expecting sort of maybe a mishmash, but not to be this conclusive. Our assistant news director is Jim Lavulis. He is with us this morning, and of course, anchor of Midday Magazine, whose program I'm usurping. Thank you very much, Jim, for being here. We also welcome Judith Enck, former EPA regional administrator, but more importantly, a longtime New York State employee working in the AG's office. Certainly no stranger to politics in New York State. Judith Enck, good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Joe.
And Blair Horner, I believe, is with us as well. Blair, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Blair Horner, of course, from NYPIRG, New York Interest Public Interest Research Group. Go ahead, Blair, what you were going to say?
Well, I was just going to thank you for having me on and say hello to Judith and Ian and Jim.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here. Dr. Alan Chartok will be joining us in a few moments on this conversation as well. He's finishing up an interview in the other room and then will be with us in just a moment. All right. So let me go to you. Judith, you have been very outspoken on this, I know, in our program. I'm curious as to, are you surprised that this was as devastating as it has been?
No, not at all. We have known for years that there is a toxic work environment in the executive chamber. I did not know that the governor preyed on young women until they came forward, and I believed them, as did the investigators. The investigator Ann Clark said all of the 11 women who were interviewed were credible and had corroborating witnesses. I don't know how much time we have today, Joe, so I want to put this out immediately.
We don't know either, Judith, but go ahead.
Yeah. Governor Andrew Cuomo is a sexual predator. He should resign immediately. His instinct is not to do that. So the public needs to mobilize. Every editorial board needs to weigh in. And the women of the state assembly need to really display leadership that I know they're capable of, because as Attorney General Tish James has mentioned, she's putting this damning report out to the public, but she is not taking enforcement action. So the ball is in the court of the state assembly. I'm not sure if Assembly Speaker Hasty is up to the task. And so the women and the men of the assembly who take sexual harassment seriously need to make sure that that impeachment process proceeds rapidly.
Blair, your thoughts on that, of where we go from here? The Attorney General made it very clear that their investigation, as of now, is over.
Yeah, the investigation of sexual harassment is over, but the book deal continues. As you may have seen, there were reports, I guess, out today, they extended the contracts of the investigators to the end of the calendar year. And she said clearly they're going to be looking at that issue as well. I mean, I think it's really the ball now is in the court of the assembly. They are the ones who have convened the Judiciary Committee to convene looking into the charges of impeachment. State constitution is pretty vague on what the standard is, but violating state and federal law certainly rises to the level of convening the Assembly Judiciary Committee and digging into the 165-page report put out by the AG.
Ian, you've been looking at the report. What stands out to you?
Well, it's the point that Blair and Judy have just raised. Judith, thank. We have been in this situation several months before, where there was consensus among most of New York's elected officials, and notably its Democrats, that Governor Cuomo would have to resign. It's very difficult at this point, given the 168-page report that we've been looking at, the corroboration that they found, toxic workplace that was documented in many ways within this report, how Governor Cuomo could stay in office. But by refusing to resign going back to the spring, he is still in that situation as far as we know today. It's difficult for me to imagine how he could govern. But as Judith and Blair have noted, you know, the assembly is not in session right now. We don't have a calendar for the impeachment inquiry. We don't know when the Judiciary Committee plans to meet again. And given Speaker Hastie's comments in Schenectady the other day, we also don't know how intensely he's looking at aligning the parallel investigations here. So there is plenty to look at in this report that is just utterly damning for the governor and his staff. And I am very curious to see what happens next.
A couple of the things that, I mean, one of the things that really jumped out to me is there was a question about the 11 women who came forward, that they found all of their stories to be credible and were corroborated, which is, you know, I think very important to note in this. Also, I also think that I'm wondering, and Blair, I'm wondering if you have thoughts on this, as to all of the, and even Democrats, but all of the people who came out as these reports started to emerge early on and said, resign, 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 including Chuck Schumer, of saying, you must resign, you must resign. Even the president, I assume that gets ignited once again and becomes far more furious given this intensive investigation.
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, the president was quite clear that if it turns out that the allegations were true, that the governor should resign. The attorney general has found those allegations to be true. I mean, just to piggyback off what Judith was talking about, I mean, in a sense, it wasn't surprising because we'd read about all of these stories, maybe not the trooper story, but all the other stories. And what was devastating and sort of shocking was how comprehensively the attorney general's investigators have decided that everything that we've been reading about was true. Even when they were describing the governor's reactions and how he answered the questions, he admitted to some of that stuff, although had a different perspective on it. So I think the deck is stacked against the governor, and he still has the next investigation to sort of deal with, which is going to be on the book deal and the use of public resources for a $5 million book agreement. So it's devastating for the governor.
We're going to take a quick break just to play a station ID at the top of the hour, which we have to do when we come back. Dr. Alan Chartok has entered the studio, so we'll talk to him and get his thoughts on this as we continue our coverage. If you are just joining us, independent investigators find that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, violated state and federal laws. Sexual harassment included unwanted and inappropriate groping, kissing, hugging, and comments that accusers call deeply humiliating, uncomfortable, offensive, or inappropriate. They also found the executive chamber to be rife with fear and intimidation, enabled, and that the office enabled harassment to occur and created a hostile work environment. We'll take a quick break and be right back in 30 seconds after.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK HD 90.9 Kingston, WOSR HD 91.7 Middletown, WCEL HD 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCAN HD 93.3 Canajoharie, WANC HD 103.9 Ticonderoga, WAMQ HD 105.1 Great Barrington, WWES HD 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZ HD 90.1 Stamford, WANR 88.5 Brewster, and WAMC AM 1400 Albany.
Welcome back to our coverage. Again, we are reporting on the really bombshell, and I don't think there's any other word for it. Well, there are other words for it, but there's one of certainly a very appropriate term is that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, according to this investigation coming out of the AG's office. It was conducted by two outside lawyers, found that the Cuomo administration was a hostile work environment rife with fear and intimidation. Dr. Alan Chartok is with us. Alan, we have been talking about this investigation since March, and well before that, as these many issues. Do you have something from the Speaker of the House, Jim?
I do, Joe. We just got a statement in from Assembly Speaker Carl Hasty. He says, quote, "We have received the Attorney General's 168-page report containing findings of sexual harassment and misconduct committed by Governor Cuomo. The findings contained in the report are disturbing. The details provided by the victims are gut-wrenching. Our hearts go out to all the individuals who have had to endure this horrible experience. The conduct by the governor outlined in this report would indicate someone who is not fit for office. The report has been forwarded to the members of the Judiciary Committee, as well as all members of the Assembly. We will now undertake an in-depth examination of the report and its corresponding exhibits with our Assembly counsels, as well as the legal firm we have retained to assist us. We will have more to say in the very near future." That, again, is a statement just in from Speaker Carl Hasty.
That line that really stands out is "the conduct by the governor outlined in this report would indicate someone who is not fit for office." Dr. Alan Chartok, what do you make of this?
Well, this is not good news for Governor Cuomo, that is for sure. The idea that we will all be watching now is whether he's going to tough it out, whether he knew it was coming. It was quite clear to me, at least, that he knew it was coming. He was making all kinds of remarks about, you know, the people who were investigating him. He was trying to obviously muddy the waters and to say, you know, that their actions were inappropriate. Now, whether or not the political establishment can find anybody who is willing to stand up against them in a coming election would be fascinating to me. I've often said that it's going to be tough for our Attorney General to do that. She may be ambitious, but my feeling is, if you're a politician and you run for Attorney General, you probably want to run for governor. I may be wrong, but I think I'm right. My sense of it is that it's going to be quite a circus while this happens.
Blair, what do you make of that? Do you think it gets that far?
I mean, I think I agree with the focus that you made on the line in the statement that it describes someone who's unfit for office. There's no other way to read that other than the wall that the Assembly wall has been protecting the governor is beginning to crumble. And the focus now turns to Assembly member Chuck Levine from Long Island, who chairs the Judiciary Committee, and the firm that they've hired and the members of that committee. They have a very important decision to make, historic decision to make, in terms of reacting to the AG's report.
Again, another thing that was mentioned in that statement from Carl Hasty, Judith, was the fact that that you'll be hearing from us very soon on this. So you wonder how much. It doesn't seem like they're going to let too much grass grow under their feet, and yet I don't know exactly what that means.
Well, yes, they've been investigating this for months. It's not like they just started a few weeks ago. And it certainly seems like the Attorney General's report has made their job a lot easier. So I'm willing to be patient with Speaker Hasty and the Judiciary Committee, but not that patient and not that stupid. I mean, all eyes are on them. Let's remember, what we are reading in this report is not what happened at a Wall Street firm. It's not what happened at some startup in Tech Valley. This is our state government. People go there to work because they're committed to public service. We now have hundreds, we have not hundreds of thousands, we have millions of dollars in state tax dollars being spent hiring outside counsel for the governor and then for Tish James' office for this investigation. We have reached a moment where if the governor had an ounce of decency and integrity, he would resign today. He cannot be surprised by what's in this report because he lived it and he inflicted his behavior on at least 11 women who were brave enough to come forward. I know we're going right to what are the political implications of the report, but I want to applaud Charlotte Bennett. She's in her early 20s. She shared with her colleagues that she was a survivor of sexual assault. And the governor, her boss, sexually harasses her. That is astonishing. I think to some degree the system is working. The governor thought he could outmaneuver this by calling for an independent investigation. He started attacking the investigators. The report is issued. It documents violations of federal and state law. The governor's political future is certainly not bright, but he's also now has tremendous liability exposure if any of these women bring civil cases. And again, I think the responsibility to resign is not just with the governor, but his numerous senior staff who did things like try to smear Lindsay Boylan, her reputation by releasing personnel records. All of them need to resign together.
So let me ask this question to the panel as a whole, especially for Blair and Alan, although Jim and Ian, feel free if you want to jump in on it. But does anyone on this panel think that the governor will resign either today or in the coming days?
It's really too tough to know. You know, I've known Andrew Cuomo for a long time. As you know, I've had my troubles with him. And I know one thing about him. I gave him a nickname a long time ago, Andrew Tough Guy. He's no shrinking violet, and he will stay in as long as he can. Now, politically, it gets very interesting. Okay, so he announces he's going to run for office. Somebody primaries him. Let's just assume for a second somebody loses, that somebody loses. So now he's the candidate. Does he win? Or is this so fraught with personal danger for him? I think that's what happened with Elliot Spitzer, by the way, when he resigned. If this is so fraught with personal danger, with the idea that he could be arrested or that he could be sued, then maybe he gets out. And that must be the decision that he's making right now.
Blair, what kind of calls do you think the governor's office is getting right now?
Well, the reporters are all calling to see what the governor is going to do.
Right.
The political establishment is probably following up on whatever resignation calls that they've made in the past to let him know or his office know that they're going to do it again, because there's really nowhere else to go. The interesting thing is going to be what the president has to say, because he had that caveat that if it's true, and I think if the president calls him out on this, I think he's got a serious political problem in New York. I would agree with Alan that he would want to try to figure out if there's a way to survive this. But if the Assembly Judiciary Committee moves, if the choice is to be the second governor to be impeached in New York history, I think resignation seems like a better option.
Ian?
You know, one thing that came up in this report, buried deep on one of the hundreds of pages, was that the executive's office, the governor's office, was planning, you know, quote unquote, spinning out of this as early as that first press conference when Governor Cuomo was talking about how bad he felt for having made people feel uncomfortable. At that time, they had bought more time by agreeing to the independent investigation.
Right. Yeah, by the way, Ian, you're actually right. I just want to interrupt for a moment.
Sure.
the word that he had called for an independent, I think that was a little off the mark when we were talking about it before. I think he agreed to it, which is what you just said, and I agree with that.
After a torturous day of back and forth emails where Cuomo had tried to name his own independent investigator,
right.
The attorney general said that would not be acceptable.
Eventually referring it to the attorney general's office.
So they bought some more time by agreeing to this, James. This investigation finally. At the same time, they were strategizing, according to this report, about how contrite the governor should be and about whether they should start smearing the reputation of June Kim, one of the independent investigators, which is a tactic we've seen in recent weeks as this report came closer to being published. So they've been on the warpath effectively since March to try to ride this out. Whether that could keep existing for a few months now is really anyone's guess.
Jim LaVos.
Yes, and Ian, to your point, investigator June Kim did mention during that press conference, quote, "We did follow the facts without fear and without favor." So he certainly made a point to say that early on in the press conference here when discussing that these investigators looked at it, in their words, without fear of reprisal from the governor's office.
And the one question I still have is Governor Cuomo has said several times, "I can't wait to tell my side of the story." So presumably, it's now or never.
Well, and to that point, this was asked to the attorney general as part of the investigation. Obviously, Cuomo sat down with interviewers and answered questions. We found out from the New York Times reporting that it was 11 hours of questioning, apparently, on that Saturday in July. According to the report, while the governor denied the most serious allegations, the investigations found that he did so by offering blanket denials or that he had, quote, lack of recollection as to specific incidents. The investigators also found that the governor's recollection, quote, stood in stark contrast to the strength, specificity, and corroboration of the complainant's recollections, as well as the reports of many other individuals who offered observations and experiences of the governor's conduct. So to your point, Ian, if this is his time to tell the story, he was having trouble telling his side of the story to investigators. At least that's what they found in the report. Judith Enk.
Well, remember, this is all happening when, real people in New York are struggling with real issues like COVID, like the eviction moratorium expiring, like climate change hitting us like it never has before. I don't think Cuomo can govern. And our priority should not be one guy's political future. Our priority should be what's best for the people of New York State. How do we get the COVID rates down? How do we fix the problems at the state agency that can't seem to deal with emergency rental issues? I don't want to spend the next few months or year and a half debating who's worse, Lee Zeldin or Andrew Cuomo. I want Governor Kathy Hochul to step in soon and work on issues in a professional, collaborative way. Work on issues like COVID, like climate change. That's not going to happen if Cuomo does what we all expect him to do, which is, hold on to the bitter end. He is taking, the Trump playbook here, where you just kind of stubbornly don't resign. What he didn't count on, though, is a comprehensive investigation that would courageously follow the facts. He probably did not count on all 11 right. women bravely telling the truth. But here we are. And outside from Cuomo political future world, we have big issues. He's not capable of governing.
And really, I mean, it's hard to look at this report and find any good news, any glimmer of good news for the governor. It is a damning report. Ian.
On the one side of it, he's accused of calling people who work for him honey and sweetheart. And on the other side of it, he's accused of putting his hands on multiple women, including a state trooper assigned to him. I mean, the details are not good. I just wanted to share with you that the Westchester County Executive, George Latimer, a Democrat who spoke with Alan on the Capitol Connection not long ago, has put out a statement saying the attorney general's findings are clear and compelling. The governor must resign. The patterns of sexually harassing, intimidating, and inappropriate behavior towards women cannot be tolerated. tolerated. We've also seen some statements coming in from Republican state leaders and North Country Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, who went as far as to say that the governor should be arrested.
Yes, said he should be arrested. No one is above the law, and today justice must be served. Governor Cuomo must resign and be arrested immediately. That President Joe Biden must immediately call for Cuomo's resignation. That from Elise Stefanik.
Well, Blair, you worked for Cuomo a long time ago and in a very ancillary sort of way, and you got out, and I knew why you were getting out. does he resign?
Well, again, as I mentioned to Joe before, I think if it comes down to the assembly starting to move to impeach, because he knows if it comes out of the Assembly Judiciary Committee, he doesn't have the votes in the Assembly, and he certainly doesn't have the votes in the Senate. I think that if the choices are to be the second governor impeached or to resign, I think resignation is going to seem like a more attractive strategy. Otherwise, I think he's going to try to slug it out. Now, this other report is, you know, the other investigation is still floating around out there in terms of the Attorney General, and you would assume he's worried about that one, too. And so there are a lot of allegations. There's a lot of reports still to come in terms of how the administration's behaved. And I think that they have a serious problem. The Assembly Judiciary Committee, though, if they move, I think, and if the president responds and the Assembly Judiciary begins to move, I think the two choices may be just impeachment or resignation.
And how soon do you see that coming, Blair? I mean, is it unheard of to think that we could have a resignation by the end of today?
Well, nothing's impossible. I mean, we've been through this with former Governor Spitzer, right? So you never know what's going to happen. You've also seen what's happened with former President Trump,
right,
where he just sort of decided to fight it out. I mean, you never know. Anything's possible. But I think a lot of this is going to hinge on what does the president say, because there's no way he's going to avoid this subject. And secondarily, what does the Assembly Judiciary Committee do? As we've seen already, Chuck Levine, the chair of that committee, has been unhappy with the way the governor was reacting to the Attorney General's office. What do they do? Judith is right that the legislature is not in session, but that doesn't mean the Assembly Judiciary Committee can't begin to respond to the Attorney General's report, which they have to do. They have to respond one way or the other, and it's hard to imagine how you respond in some way that helps the governor under these circumstances.
They can come back into session instantly.
Okay, Alan?
I just wanted to mention the Stefanik thing that we went through. That's interesting. Here is Stefanik, who is a loyalist to a guy, Trump, who has been accused of many of the exact same things, that we have seen being leveled at Trump. And she gets up on, you know, her place there. And
high horse.
High horse is a good way. Good one to do.
Hey,
and starts talking about that. But two wrongs don't make a right. That we know.
Blair?
Let me just interrupt. It was just tweeted out that the Assembly Democrats have been called into an emergency conference this afternoon to discuss the Attorney General's report. So that, again, starts to show. I think things are going to start to move pretty quickly.
Start the crumble. Jim?
And yes, we just got a statement in from Attorney Deborah Katz. She represents Charlotte Bennett, released the following statement. The findings released today demonstrate what Charlotte Bennett stated publicly at great personal cost more than 6 months ago. Governor Cuomo sexually harassed her during her employment as his executive assistant, and his enablers protected him and covered it up. The governor came on to Charlotte and made unwelcome sexual advances toward her in his personal office as New York endured the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. The actions he took against Charlotte fit the very definition of sexual harassment under executive department policy and further violated New York state law. He subjected Charlotte to sexual harassment individually and created a sexually hostile and toxic work environment for all women. Sadly, Charlotte was not the only extraordinary woman whose career in the executive department was cut short and derailed as a result of the governor's illegal behavior. The governor's actions have deprived New Yorkers of the professionalism, passion, and dedication of their state that Charlotte and the many others who refuse to submit to his advances have to offer. The governor must resign immediately, along with his senior staff who protected and enabled him in violation of New York state law. to the detriment of the women he harassed. If he does not, the New York State Assembly must accept the Attorney General's findings and begin taking the appropriate steps to remove him from office. So that, again, is a statement from Attorney Deborah Katz, representing Charlotte Bennett.
Senator Phil Boyle, New York Senator Phil Boyle said, "Remember my prediction, Cuomo resigns within 72 hours of the AG's report being issued, so start your clocks." So, Blair, I want to go back to what you saw tweeted, because I'm trying to find information on that. But this was about that they were being called, the assembly was being called into an emergency legislative session?
That's right. That was tweeted out by Josefa Velasquez.
Okay.
If you want to track it down, it went out about this 6 minutes ago. I'm sorry?
Just mentioned that Josefa is a reporter with the city.
Yeah, right.
She knows of what she tweets. She's just not a random person.
You know, it's interesting as far as the assembly goes, in this interregnum between the March launching of the investigation and today, many members of the assembly and other elected officials have joined Governor Cuomo at various events around New York State as he's tried to, weather this thing, including many of the assembly Democrats who may be coming up to a vote on his impeachment shortly. And, I think that's very telling if they're starting to circle the wagons at this point.
I mean, that is the question, right, Alan? Is impeachment, to Blair's point, if everything just starts to crumble very, very, very quickly, is impeachment even on the table because there's so much pressure on the governor to resign?
Well, Joe, there's no question impeachment will be on the table. And there's no question in my mind.
Well, the elephant in the room, right?
Yeah, it's there. I don't think Spitzer wanted to resign. I talked to him about it. When it happened, he really felt he had no choice. But Cuomo's a different kind of animal, and he is much more likely to tough it out if he thinks there's any way he can continue in office. I think impeachment is a possibility here, but if Cuomo thinks it's going to happen and that he's going to get deserted by the Assembly Democrats, then he might have to resign.
Jim?
No, it just all this comes at, kind of takes us back to that statement by Carl Hastie in the minutes after the report was released, that the conduct by the governor outlined in this report would indicate someone who is not fit for office. So there's the leader of the New York State Assembly saying that. And to Blair's point about the note that the assembly is meeting in emergency session, there's your statement from the leader of that very body.
And if he gets basically politically indicted, meaning impeached, by the assembly, and it goes to the Senate, I don't think there's much question about what's going to happen over there, because their leader has been calling for his leaving all
his hide, yes. Yeah. Judith?
Just one sort of technical thing. Sorry.
Yes.
If it does come out of the assembly in this under the state constitution, the governor would be removed as the governor while the Senate was conducting its own investigation and decision making. So if the assembly moves to impeach, then the governor would have to be moved, even if it's just temporarily as governor. So it's different than the federal.
Yes. And at that stage, Blair, he doesn't try to tough it out. Once that happens, I think that's the end.
Judith?
Well, it was noted Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins came out pretty early and forcefully calling for the governor's resignation months ago. And then after she did that, Hastie did in a little less convincing way. But I think it's safe to assume that Andrew Cuomo will not voluntarily resign. So it is really up to, I'm calling for his resignation. I think it's the ethical thing for him to do, but I don't think that's his priority here. His priority is his own political survival. So all eyes are on the assembly. I think we can all agree he never took the anti-harassment training. Everything he was saying in his own defense, backed up the fact that he had a hostile work environment in the executive chamber. And this report addresses his role as a sexual predator against young women staffers, including a state trooper. But also, to quote from the report, The governor's office had a toxic, hostile, abusive, the way the executive chamber was described was toxic, hostile, abusive, fear, intimidation, bullying, vindictive, berating and terrifying people 24/7. So again, I want to broaden this a little bit. These sexual harassment, sexual predator charges are really, really serious. But taxpayers of New York, you don't get good government when that is the culture that exists in state government. And I think that description is spot on.
I want to get to the part here where he violated multiple state and federal laws, which was brought up in this report. The investigation found that Governor Cuomo's sexual harassment of multiple women and his and the executive chamber's retaliation against a former employee for coming forward with her claims of sexual harassment violated multiple state and federal laws, and including Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the New York State Human Rights Law, and 42 U.S. Code 1983, in addition to the executive chamber's own equal employment policies.
Ian. Yeah, this was asked many times during the press conference today. What happens now?
Right.
Are you going to make a referral for criminal charges? What happens with this report? Attorney General James said many times today that the report stands for itself. The Attorney General's office is not itself recommending criminal charges, but that there's certainly plenty of crumbs here if a local prosecutor or police department wants to pick up the trail. And to that end, we know that the Albany Police Department is at least tangentially involved here because of an alleged incident that happened in the executive mansion at some point. So it's not impossible that we could see some developments on that front.
As well as referral to our often panelist, Friday panelist,
David
Soares, who's the district attorney.
Well, I think the two cases that could be referred, one to Cy Vance and one to David Soares, right? I think those are the two
right.
that are possible.
Yeah, one happened at the mansion on Eagle Street in Albany. I want to invite the listeners to do something. I want you to read the
homework
report or the summary of the report and ignore the name Andrew Cuomo and insert the name Joe Smith or Jane Smith. Anyone who has behaved like this would be out on the street instantly. They wouldn't keep their jobs. If this was happening at a school or a hospital or a high-tech business, if you're an executive or if you're just a rank-and-file employee, you have violated state and federal anti-harassment laws. You don't keep your job after you've been investigated, and this has been proven.
I'm looking on the Attorney General's report now, and they've released various appendix materials to the report, which are interesting and will need some further examination. But they have a lot of screenshots of texts, contemporaneous text messages sent by some of the women who were interviewed, photos of the governor with different women. And as we heard during today's announcement and is documented in this report, obviously, a lot of these interactions happened with people who were around the governor at certain events at the mansion, whether they were state employees or not. You can see Governor Cuomo in some of these photos appearing to get, you know, much too close to people and so on. So in addition to the 168-page report that was released today and the summary, there are many appendix, three different appendix materials with contemporaneous accounts.
Jim?
And yes,
well,
we
Ian,
just...
I don't know if it's in there, but remember the poor women on Lake Ontario? The governor came to deal with a flooding event and he hit on this married woman. I mean, you don't want this guy out representing the state. She's dealing with flooding and she's dealing with sexual harassment from the governor.
Jim?
And yes, just a statement in from Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, who we were speaking about earlier. Quote, this report highlights unacceptable behavior by Governor Cuomo and his administration. As I said, when these disturbing allegations first came to light, the governor must resign for the good of the state. Now that the investigation is complete and the allegations have been substantiated, it should be clear to everyone that he can no longer serve as governor. Our highest elected offices must reflect the values of integrity that they profess and New Yorkers hold dear. I thank the Attorney General and her investigators for their thorough investigation. I also wanted to give a special thank you to the courageous women who bravely stepped forward to shed light on this awful situation. We all owe them, a debt of gratitude. And that, again, is a statement from Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins.
Ian?
If you all are enjoying the special coverage, we will be able to continue it because Governor Andrew Cuomo is going to respond to the report at 1 p.m., according to an update to his public schedule.
God.
Governor Cuomo to respond at 1 p.m. from Albany to this report. So I guess he got the word that it was now or never. It's going to be pretty much now.
Jim Blair, what did you just said? Oh, my God. What did you mean?
I think we know what you mean. But
well, no, I want an explanation because I think it's important.
I'm just reading through the report. That's all. And I didn't have it on mute. So my apologies.
I see.
Okay.
I see, because what Joe said was
that... And I did mention to Joe earlier that I have a call now.
You have a call. So yeah. we will free you, and we may call on you later, because... What time are you free, Blair?
My life, whenever you guys want me, of course.
All right, I'll give you a call.
He may be talking to the New York
Times.
I'll give you
a shout in a little bit. Obviously, we'll be talking about this. Much more. Okay.
Thank you,
Blair. Blair Horner from the New York Public Interest Research Group. Thank you. All right. So we're going to take a break, right? We'll take a break. Is that what you want to do, Ian?
Well,
we'll take a break.
It seems like a good time to play the midday weather summary for people who are tuning in to hear the weather. And then...
there are some important things in this world.
That's right. And knowing what to wear to a possible impeachment is one of them. Yes. So we will we'll go to weather. We'll regroup and figure out how we'll cover. We are obviously we will take the governor at 1 o'clock or as soon as he begins to speak, and we'll continue our conversation. We'll do that after this. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's turned out to be quite a day.
Man. Okay, so what do you make of the Attorney General's report? And more importantly, what given that, what does your day look like? What does your dance card look like? And the kind of calls that you're taking besides from folks like us?
Sure. So look, I'm not surprised. Let me start with that. I was one of the first Democrats in the state legislature to call on the governor to resign back in March. It was a painful thing to call on him to resign, but it needed to happen. And look, it's not one or two or three. And quite frankly, that would have been enough. We're talking, a dozen or so women whose allegations have now been substantiated by the Attorney General. And the main point here, though, is even if you weren't one of my colleagues calling on him to resign, you're someone in the public who, hasn't quite gotten to that point. The governor himself back in March said, let's wait till the Attorney General's report comes out. Give me due process. It is only fair. And so now the Attorney General's report is out. It's damning. It's horrifying. And the governor has to do the right thing by the state. He needs to step down immediately. And if he doesn't, the legislature ought to remove him.
Senator, this is Ian Pickus. Is there anything the governor could say at 1 o'clock that would move you off the position you've just outlined that he needs to go today?
No.
Do you expect, is it your belief or any thought that we could hear a resignation at 1 o'clock today?
Your guess is as good as mine. Look, I have no idea what's coming at one. I just heard the grapevine that he's not taking questions, I guess. I don't know what that means. But the governor, when Eric Schneiderman's allegations were published, the governor, I think within literally a matter of minutes, was out calling for Eric Schneiderman to resign. When Vito Lopez's allegations in the assembly a number of years ago surfaced, the governor was right out of the gate. Vito Lopez ought to resign. And so now, the governor, here we are. So April, May, June, July, August, 5 months later, after these allegations surfaced, he's been given far more due process than any of his colleagues in government who had very serious, disturbing allegations mounted against them. He's been given far more due diligence than them. And the attorney general independently elected come out with a very fact-driven reports, texts, emails, phone calls, evidence-based report. And so now the governor, I think, by his own standard and then some, by a lot, ought to resign.
You know, you look at this report, and it is voluminous. It is very large, and people are still going through it. I don't think any of us have had time to read it in its entirety, but we are certainly we have gotten the summary, and we have looked at it and read parts of it. I said this earlier, Senator, but I assume you would agree. I mean, there really is no good news for the governor in this report at all.
Yeah, so like you, I haven't gone through the entire voluminous report. I've gotten the top lines. Certainly there was the press conference that we all saw and heard about. And as far as I could tell, to your point, no, there is zero good news in this report for the governor. He has not been, as far as I could tell, vindicated in any way, shape, or form, any component, any morsel, any, you know, single allegation. Everything, from what I can gather, has been substantiated, and it's all not just unbecoming of the highest elected official in New York State. It is without question grounds for resignation and or removal.
Jim Lavolis.
Senator, how do you think the findings of this report impact the Assembly's impeachment investigation?
Look, I have to think it impacts a lot of my colleagues in the legislature and including in the Assembly. I don't want to certainly speak for anyone there, though I served in the Assembly for 6 years. And I'm sure the Assembly at some point very soon, maybe today, I'm guessing, is going to convene and have a Democratic conference and discuss amongst one another next steps. Do you wait for the Assembly's investigation to conclude? Is this Attorney General's report conclusive enough that you don't have to wait for what sounds like it could be a many months long remaining process on the Assembly side and the Judiciary Committee? Look, I made this decision back in March. I thought there was clear-cut, far and away evidence to make that decision in March. I personally don't think there's anything left to wait for and to look into.
Alan Turner.
Now, Senator, you work the phones like the rest of us do. And so my question is, when you're working the phones with the Assembly, I have a question for you. What's up? In other words, what are they telling you? We're going to meet.
Yeah, I know your question is. Yep. And so.
Scoofus has been on with Alan before.
Scoofus reads subtext. Yes.
I've spoken with a couple of my colleagues in the Assembly. The couple that I did speak with, and I won't name names, they had already been out there calling for resignation. They weren't, the group in the legislature that has withheld a call for resignation thus far. And so, look, I think this certainly reinforces in these couple of colleagues' minds that this needs to happen. The big question is, and I can't answer this, at least thus far, the big question is, what sort of impact, what meaningful impact, if any, does this have with those Assembly members who had not yet been out there beating the drum and saying, well, he's got to go. We've got to turn this page. And that's the question that I'm sure you're looking for an answer to, and all of us looking for an answer to, and I don't have an answer yet.
So to the point, Blair Horner mentioned this, that the Assembly is expected to meet today. So what do you know about that, of the timing of that, and at what point have you heard anything about the State Assembly?
So what I've heard through the grapevine is sometime this afternoon. That's just really at this point hearsay. But I'd be surprised if the Assembly does not meet at some point today, knowing how the Assembly operates. And look, the Speaker, to his credit, he's been trying to do his due diligence. He's gotten beaten up in the press and some other places about not acting quickly enough. But now, look, I think the Attorney General's report, leaves this. There's no gray area. There's no, okay, well, maybe she didn't turn over this stone. Maybe she didn't talk to this person. When I say she, I mean, obviously, the lawyers that were hired independent of her office. And so, look, I'm sure the Assembly is going to meet today. I'm sure it's going to be knowing how those conferences operate, having been there for 6 years, it's going to be a very, very long conference. I suspect it's probably going to be at times a very heated conference. I'm sure even if this report moves people, I'm sure the governor still has some, maybe not as many, I don't know, but I'm sure he has at least some allies still in the assembly who are going to go to bat for him. And the question is, you know, and I'm quite frankly, I'm sure the governor's people are making calls. You're talking about working the phones. I'm sure they're working the phones more than anybody right now with the assembly. And so, you know, the big question is, you know, is there going to be some resolution to come out of this assembly conference that, you know, I suspect will happen at some point today?
And what do you think that'll be?
I'm not a betting man, and I'm
no, but you are a professional, a political professional. We all respect so much, and we know what you, we know that you know a lot. So, what do you expect? You think that they're all going to get together and they're going to decide to impeach him, don't you?
I mean, with Carl Hastie saying in his statement, the conduct by the governor outlined in this report would indicate someone who is not fit for office. Going from that line, Senator, it would certainly indicate a sense of where we're headed, does it not?
Yeah, look, the one certainly if you read between those lines, yes. That said, and I've said this all along, I would be shocked. I think it's near impossible that the legislature actually gets to a point where we are taking impeachment votes, whether it be in the assembly or in the Senate to convict or acquit. And that's because if the writing does become very clear on that wall, the governor, I imagine, and he knows, you know, if he realizes the votes aren't there, the governor is not going to go through an excruciating and highly embarrassing, even more so than I'm sure he's already embarrassed and ashamed, and rightfully so, by this episode. He is not going to go through an impeachment trial. He will resign. The question is, you know, is that communicated clearly to him? Hey, leave or we're forcing you to leave. I don't think this state is going to go through an impeachment trial. I'd be shocked if it gets to that point. If the governor sees it's going to get to that point, he's going to leave.
Senator, it's Ian Pickus again. You've been involved in investigations into the administration over other issues, including COVID-19 nursing home deaths during the pandemic. How does today's report from the Attorney General impact your own investigations of late?
So, look, you know, the Senate Investigations Committee was not, to your point, was not doing a parallel investigation into the sexual harassment allegations. You know, we had full faith, I have full faith in the Attorney General, and she's, by all measure, proven to have lived up to that faith. And certainly, you know, we've all seen the reports of an FBI investigation. We've seen reports of a Department of Justice investigation. And so the Senate Investigations Committee did not want to step on any of those law enforcement professional toes. But certainly, look, you know, there is remaining work. We have an inquiry open into the Mario Cuomo Bridge allegations surrounding the bolts and the safety of the new Tappan Zee Bridge. And so, you know, our work will continue. And, you know, whether the governor is the governor, we want to know whether the bridge is safe, for example. That work will all continue.
Judith, I want to get to you on this in just a second. Jim, you had a statement.
Yes, sorry, Senator. Just wanted to let our listeners know that State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli has come out with a statement on the AG's report concerning Governor Cuomo. Quote, "This is a sad day for New York. The Attorney General's report documents unacceptable workplace behavior in the executive chamber at the highest level of state leadership. The women who came forward are courageous and they have been heard. As I stated months ago, the governor should step down." So again, that is a statement from New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Justin.
Judith, thank your thoughts.
Hi, Senator.
I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to add another element to this and ask for the senator's reflection on it. As I read this report, I am physically nauseous. I mean, it is deeply disturbing that this behavior happened in state government, not at a frat house, not at a Wall Street firm, in state government. And the role of women in government here cannot be overemphasized. The 12 women who bravely stood up and told their truth. The role of Attorney General Tish James, a woman in government. And now I think whether the governor resigns, whether it's forced upon him by an impeachment process, today the role of the women in the state assembly is crucial. I think the senator is right. He was in the Assembly Democratic Conference for years. It's a spirited group. But what is Pat Fahey and Dee Dee Barrett and Deborah Glick going to say? What are they going to accept as an assembly position on this? So I think all eyes are on assembly women. And do they now take what the victims of harassment dealt with, what a female attorney general dealt with, and now are they going to make sure that that justice is served? And I'm curious to hear from the former assembly member, Senator Skoufis, what he thinks, what's going to go down today between the speaker and the women of the assembly?
So I think you hit the nail right on the head. Certainly, on paper, it's one person, one vote in that Democratic conference. But in this coming conference that they're about to have, and on this, these issues surrounding the governor, I think the women of the Democratic conference have a little bit more of a vote on this one, and a little bit more of a say, and respect of their opinion on this one. And to your point, and I'm friends with all the folks that you just listed, and then some. And I spoke with many, many, many of them back in March and April. And certainly, we know that we have the list of the folks who are out there calling for resignation, some quicker than others. Many of the assembly members, including many of the assembly women, they did want to wait for the due process to play out. And so, look, unless goalposts have moved, it's hard to fathom that any conclusion other than, well, we've got to turn this page on the governor, could be gotten to by these assembly members. So look, obviously there's it's a very diverse conference. I'm sure, with 607 Democratic assembly members, I'm sure it's not going to be, if there's a vote, it's not going to be 107-0 one way or the other. But I do think, to your point, that the speaker and, quite frankly, the conference at large is going to take a very close look at the opinion and really look towards what the assembly women of the Democratic conference have to say and think about this, and especially those who back in March and April were out there arguing for due process. And let's give it some time. It's a couple months. It's a few months. We all have faith in the attorney general. She herself, to your point, is the top law enforcement officer in the state and happens to be a woman. It cares deeply about the issue of sexual harassment in the workplace. And that comes through in her work. And now that we've seen this report, unless the goalposts have moved, it's hard to imagine that folks who were clamoring for due process could come to any other conclusion than the one that most of the rest of us have come to.
Senator, it's Ian again. Just one more from me. We have not heard from Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. She has really said we're going to wait for the investigation and left her comments at that. Have you spoken with her at all amid the possibility that she is now next in line to be governor sometime sooner rather than later?
I have not. The last time I saw and spoke with the Lieutenant Governor, she was in the district for an event not too long ago, maybe a few weeks ago. But certainly I have not spoken to her today. No.
We are talking to Democratic New York State Senator James Skoufis, who is chairman of the Committee on Investigations and Government Operations. We are covering the bombshell story today of an investigation into New York Governor Andrew Cuomo that found that he sexually harassed multiple current and former employees. State Attorney General Letitia James announced this morning. The investigation was conducted by two outside lawyers and found that Cuomo administration was a hostile work environment and that it was, quote, rife with fear and intimidation. The governor is expected to be speaking. around 1 o'clock, we are told to respond to the AG's report. We do not know exactly what that means. But, Senator, I'm going to let you go, and I thank you very much for your time and spending it with us and sharing your insights. It's very important, and I thank you.
Thank you for having me, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more to talk about in the hours and days ahead.
I bet you're right. Thank you very much. Yep. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue and wait for the governor. Thank you. Welcome back to WAMC's coverage of the Attorney General's report on the governor of New York State and the fact, the report that shows that the governor sexually harassed multiple women, according to the findings of that report. We just heard from the governor and heard his response to the allegations that, again, were basically upheld and said were proven by the Attorney General and the investigators in this particular case. Let me just go around the room here. We have Ian Pickus with us, who is our news director, Jim Lavulis, our assistant news director, Dr. Alan Chartok, of course, and Judith Enk with us. And I would just like to go around the room and get everyone's response. I was surprised by the report. I was surprised by the fact that he brought up names of his victims and seemed to go one by one through the list and in his defense.
It's such a stark difference from that initial press conference in March where he apologized for making people feel uncomfortable. Today, I think that was fair to say a defiant Governor Andrew Cuomo. If you were tuning in to hear his resignation speech, that was certainly not it. He said, quote, "I will not be distracted from that job." Went on to talk about COVID-19 and the recovery from the economic recession. He says politics and bias are interwoven throughout every aspect of this report. And he says he has a report from his own attorney that's ready to rebut many of the points in the attorney general's independent investigation. For me, I'm just sitting here in 2021, struck by how far we have come since 2020 at a time where Joe and Alan and Jim, we were figuring out every day, when is the COVID briefing going to happen? When is Governor Cuomo going to talk to Alan? He was on top of the political world. And as we have been listening to Governor Cuomo in the last few minutes, statements are starting to come in from members of the state assembly saying he must resign. And if he doesn't, I'm a yes on an impeachment vote. Times have changed.
Judith, what are your thoughts when you heard what the governor had to say?
Well, let's remember, the report was released 2 hours ago, and he had a prepared statement and a PowerPoint with pictures of him hugging and kissing people. So it's not like he read the report, reflected on it, and learned on it. I don't think his statement helps him. I think this was high-level gaslighting. It was outrageous, wildly irresponsible, and I really think a new low for state government. He called out Charlotte Bennett, re-victimized her over again, talked about a family member who was a survivor of sexual assault and injected this as part of his defense. No one believes that he was talking to a very junior staff person to help her work through her difficult time. Come on. I just think he only went through a couple of the charges. So he re-victimizes Charlotte Bennett. He accuses the woman who said she was groped in the executive mansion, accuses her of lying, then shows us a montage of him kissing people and hugging people. That's not what sexual harassment is about. I think, you know, he starts off saying this is a hard and painful period for him and his family, without acknowledging how hard and painful it was for his victims. And yes, I use that word on purpose. These are victims of sexual harassment. I think this is his last gasp effort at political survival. He obviously has spent months thinking about how he was going to respond to the report when he came out. I think he just dug himself into the hole deeper. and all eyes are now on the New York State Assembly.
I don't know how much this matters. It is our suspicion that this was a taped response and not live, that it was done however long ago, but was what was played at 1 o'clock. One tell is the fact that it actually started right at 1 o'clock. It started right on time, yeah. which is unusual. To both your point and to Ian's point, which was that the governor now says that he has his defense. It's available on his website. This has been prepared by his lawyer. He answers each and every charge. He says, I have not seen it. I don't know if it has been posted yet. I didn't find it when I just looked. But I want to just repeat what was said from the Attorney General's report, which states, as part of the investigation, Governor Cuomo sat with the interviewers and answered questions under oath. While the governor denied the most serious allegations, the investigations found that he did so by offering blanket denials or that he had a lack of recollection as to specific incidents. The investigators also found that the governor's recollection, quote, stood in stark contrast to the strength, specificity, and corroboration of the complainant's recollections, as well as the reports of many other individuals who offered observations and experiences of the governor's conduct, end quote. So if that is his defense, and he made that defense to those who were questioning him, it did not go over well with those investigators and those who were completing this report. Alan.
Well, I didn't expect that the report was going to be different than it was. I'm fascinated, as I often am, about my own involvement with Andrew. You know, it's interesting that when things got tough, he threw me out the window. He didn't want to talk to me anymore. He got into a lot of trouble over using the N-word in his conversation with me and other things. So he's take no prisoners, and that's who he is. If you take a look at what he just said, it's clear that he's going to try to tough it out. Now, he may not get away with that. It may well be that what happens is those Democrats in the Assembly get together this afternoon and say, he goes, and we're going to impeach him. And we know that there is an appetite for that. We've talked to Senator Skoufis, and we know that, you know, Cuomo is in big trouble. But he, I can tell you all, because I've been dealing with this guy for a long time, that he is not going to be a pushover to get out like Spitzer was. Spitzer was really afraid they were going to arrest him for violating the Mann Act and bringing a woman over the line to Washington. And he just got out. But Cuomo is going to try to tough it out, and that's why we call him Tough Guy Andrew.
But I think you need to change his name, Ellen. He's not Tough Guy Andrew. He is Sexual Predator Andrew. These are really serious charges.
By the way, Judith, let me interrupt you for a moment. I have to tell you that I never denied that these were very serious charges. And they are very serious charges. But I am telling you, knowing Cuomo the way that I do, that he will try to tough this out.
Yes, I understand that, but I don't think it's a matter of toughness. I think it's a matter of him taking responsibility for violating the law. And I guess my objection to just calling him Tough Guy Cuomo is that's not really what this is about. You're absolutely right. He will fight this to the end, as we just saw with his statement. But, you know, people admire people who are tough. It says that they stand up to people in power and they follow the facts.
Well, it goes along with his New York tough, which he made his tagline throughout the COVID.
That is his branding attempt.
Right.
But after seeing what's in the report, I think we have to find different words to describe him.
Well, I have no apologies for calling him Tough Guy Andrew, because I think that's what he is. I think that's what he's always been. I think that's what he was when he ran against Carl McCall, you may remember that, and tried to take the nomination away from him. I think that this, when he got you know, caught with his friends. I think that's who he is. You know, I take some exception to your calling me out, Judith, for calling him Tough Guy Andrew, because that's what he is.
All right. Let me go to Ian. Do you want to talk about what Mayor Sheehan?
Yeah, it's just as we're getting many statements in at this point, it's a math problem potentially for Governor Cuomo. If the Assembly Democrats decide they're going to vote to impeach him, and many of them are saying if he doesn't resign now, people who were previously on the fence or waiting for this report to come out, people like Pat Fahey, the Albany Assemblywoman who recently appeared with Governor Cuomo at an event in New York City, are now saying it's resign or I'm a yes vote. It may just be a matter of time. Hold the cards at this point.
No,
in many ways.
I agree with that. He can be putting up stuff on the air and his semi-apologia. But in the end, he's a vote counter. And he knows that if those Assembly Democrats decide in conference this afternoon that he goes, then I think we're going to see a different Andrew Cuomo than we just saw on the tube.
I just want to remind our listeners we are covering the Attorney General's report on the investigation into Governor Andrew Cuomo. We are going to go for about three or four more minutes, and then we'll turn it over to Jim Lavulis to do an abbreviated.
Silly us. We got a midday magazine ready today.
Yes, we got a midday magazine. There is other news, and we'll get to that in just a moment. And then we'll be back at 2 o'clock, and of course we'll be talking about this issue at 2 o'clock. And most importantly, we'll be welcoming your phone calls and your, of course, your letters to us as well, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. So we'll be going to that soon. And again, we'll be going to Midday Magazine at 1:30, and then we will be going to Vox Pop at 2 o'clock. And we will, I assume, between now and then find guests for that show. Okay. Let me just wrap up here real quick and go over what we know so far. And that is a damning report from the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James. She appointed two investigators, two independent investigators, June Kim and Ann Clark. They released their report into the multiple allegations of sexual harassment by Andrew Cuomo, the New York governor. After nearly 5 months, this from their statement, the investigators concluded that Governor Cuomo did sexually harass multiple women, including former and current state employees, by engaging in unwanted groping, kissing, and hugging, and making inappropriate comments. Further, the governor and his senior staff took actions to retaliate against at least one former employee for coming forward with her story. Finally, the executive chamber fostered a toxic workplace that enabled harassment to occur and created a hostile work environment. The investigators find that Governor Cuomo's actions and those of the executive chamber violated multiple state and federal laws, as well as the executive chamber's own written policies. The governor has responded in a video that was released at 1 o'clock, in which he continues to not deny any involvement, any harassment of women, and also that there was said that it was a tough place to work, but that it was not a toxic work environment. So let me go around the room real quick. We'll have final statements. And then, Alan, what do you think? We have more at 1 or at 2 o'clock. But
I just turned around to Jim Lavulis and I said, I wouldn't want to be Andrew Cuomo right now. That's for sure. We've always known toxic work environment in his office. And these are very serious allegations.
Judith?
You can have a hard-charging, round-the-clock professional office where people work hard and get things done and then not have to endure this toxic work environment. I think the real question now is how does he govern? I think it's virtually impossible for him to be viewed as a credible leader of the state with this report out and with his abysmal response.
Ian, I was going to say it's going to be a hell of a couple of days, but then it's going to be a hell of a couple of hours.
It really is. I think this will move pretty fast at this point. And I have in mind the parable of Icarus and Daedalus. I just can't get over how much things have changed since March of 2020 as we sit here today on August 3rd.
May we all have parables deep in our mind. I want to thank everybody for joining us and for both this morning and this afternoon as we have bled into the time. Ian Pickus, Alan Chartok, and Jim Lavulis, reading right from left. Thank you very much for being here. Jim, we'll turn it over to you. Judith Eng, thank you very much for being with us this morning and this afternoon. I appreciate your time. And Alan Chartok, you and I will be back here at 2 o'clock with Vox Pop and taking calls as well as questions. Vox Pop at WAMC.org. We'll go to Midday Magazine next.